Hey everyone, I just wanted to come in and put a little bit of a disclaimer on this episode. We do talk about Attack on Titan, the new season. So if you have not fully at least caught up to midway of the new stuff, then I would probably say skip the last little bit of the Nerd Corner. Also in there, we did talk a little bit of some trigger warnings for you guys as far as death in a joking manner, but I just of course want to make sure that everyone is aware just in case you are triggered. But I'm so excited for you guys to hear this episode, and just let me know what you think. All right, let's get to it.
If you're listening to this and you're part of the community and you're a judge for a contest, don't do the chair trick anymore. It's dumb and we already all know about it. and then the last thing is the contest itself. Now this is always the highlight of the night. So it's everybody getting together as one leather family, and normally there's a funny question, a serious question, a speech, or a fantasy, and then they announce the winner.
What's the chair trick?
And welcome back to another episode of Kinky and Blurity. Hey, y'all. I know. I'm late, but I promise I didn't run away. Just a couple of the guest speakers that we had lined up for different episodes did not plan out the way that we needed them to. So we got a little backed up and behind. But we're back now. As always, I am joined here with Sin. Hi, Sin.
Hi, I'm the vanilla ice cream.
Wow. Okay. So, I made a joke that Sin was vanilla, and we're trying to corrupt him. And by we, I mean we have Pup Rush back on the podcast again. Hello, Rush.
Hi. It's the perviest puppy on earth.
Hello, my love. It's been too long. Way too long, but thank you again for deciding to come back and grace us with your presence. How have you been?
Fantastic.
Cool. I mean, at least you've been fantastic. Can't say that about everything else. The world is going to shit.
Yeah.
You know, but that's okay. Let's have a party while we go down in flames. So today I brought Rush back because there is something that I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, and I've been trying to get like different people in this particular community to come and talk to us when it hit me that we already have somebody in this community here, and why didn't I just reach out to my love in the first place? So the title of this episode is going to be, well, if you're already reading it, then you already know what it is. But it's going to be to leather or not to leather. That is the question. Yes, we are talking about leather community and BDSM and kink versus the non-leather community in BDSM and kink. And not really to like put them against each other, but to kind of figure out what the difference is, and how can you identify, like, well, outside of clothing, how can you identify if you are a part of the leather community or not? Partially because I am not smart to this and I want to know more about it. So yeah, thank you. And let's get started. So, Rush, see, I did it right this time. Can you just give us like the overview of what is the leather community?
They're based a bunch on, of like, horny weirdos.
Wow. Okay. I was about to say definitely based on your definition.
No, it's a bunch of horny weirdos, and depending on really where you fall into the community, it can be a bunch of horny weirdos that operate under protocol or not.
So there's a community within the leather community?
Oh, it's deep. It's like a rabbit hole.
Oh, wow. Okay. I would like to be Alice and go down this rabbit hole as far as we can. Sin, are you ready to go on an adventure?
Let's go.
All right, cool. So you know how in Alice in Wonderland it had to eat me, drink me? I'm going to do both. So let's go. So, okay, I don't even know how to frame this question. What are the communities within the leather community? Do they have names?
I mean, really, like the puppy play community, the pony play community, sirs, boys, doms, subs, like all of it falls under the leather community. Ooh, that's the anime wow. We're gonna stop that. But yeah, it all falls under the leather community, but it depends on where you stop. Like for me, I happen to be in Puppy Town with all the other puppy players. I know people that are like, well, I'm a part of the leather community, but I don't feel like a puppy. I'm more of a boy, so they hang out with the boys. We have a bunch of hot daddies that like to hang out in the sir corner. So there are all these different communities, and we all make up the leather community as a whole.
Okay.
Phrasing.
I got that. I feel like I need that Captain America meme where it was like, no, let go of me. I need to let him know I understood that reference. So I guess my next question would be, I see that in our Alphabet Mafia that there are a lot of us that are in the leather community. So was the leather community started by the gay community? Or is
to be perfectly honest, so the leather community comes from a lot of different spots. Leather community is definitely started by LGBTQIA+ people.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that straight people weren't a part of it, but definitely we were the booster shot for that.
Got you.
But a lot of it comes from, Old Guard Protocol that was there at the beginning comes from like the military. Some biker protocol, even some like monarchy protocol is in there. I think that's really cool.
Oh, okay. I can definitely see that with like some of the like outfits and stuff that I see the leather guys, leather people wearing. So I can definitely see that. The reason I asked that question is because when I was doing research, I mainly saw most of the LGBTQIA+ people. I don't think I really saw any cis people in there. So that was why I asked that question. I didn't know if it was like, you know, gays only.
Oh, no. There are definitely some super hetero people that are definitely a part of the community and have been there for a while.
Got you. Okay. So, before we move on, Sin, do you have any questions about this part?
There's a lot in there.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm trying. I have so many questions that's like popping up based off everything Rush like says. So I want to make sure I'm not the only one that's like talking because are still a newbie. So
yeah, it's more like why leather? I guess that's like the most basic thing I can ask.
Okay.
Ooh, I love this. I love this question.
Oh no! No, like, cause I personally, I mean, I have a leather jacket, but that doesn't do anything for me. I'm assuming. Like
it begins.
Oh no! Okay, go ahead.
From a leather jacket to leather pants, it will consume you.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel any kind of special way when you wear that leather jacket?
Warm.
Warm. Well, okay, we'll take that warm feeling. For some people, wearing that leather jacket is a turn on. So,
I guess, is it just the material, or is it, does it connect to something?
Yes. Yes to both, actually. No, take my leather puppy hood, for instance. That's the one that my handler got for me. He got it custom made. So that thing, like, I love that thing. I love it to death. It's not so much the feel of leather or the smell of it. I'm like, eh, whatever. I could get a candle and fill my house with that smell if I really wanted to. But it's the fact that he got it for me, and It's my super special piece of leather that I take super good care of.
I mean, that feels like it's more. Oh, no, no. I just wanted to say, like, that feels like it's more because, you know, it's the, your handler got it for you. You know, special to you. Like, there's really no any. I'm not saying it's not special, but like, it's not going to be special for somebody else, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's a part of. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, well, and yeah, and that's, again, that's also a part of leather. There are some leather pieces that people just go out and buy, and because they think, oh, I look so super Saiyan sexy in this, I must have this particular piece. And that's great and fine and dandy, whereas some pieces definitely hold meaning. There are pieces that have been passed down for, like, ever. I know that one particular sir passes his old sir cap, like, his old sir cap has been passed down from boy to boy to boy that he's had. So he would, when he decided that his boy was ready to become a sir, their confirmation of that would be if they got a sir cap, and then they would train a boy, and then they would give the sir cap, and on and on and on and on. So that holds very special significance.
So it's almost like in the pet community, or at least for me, it's almost like the significance that, like, putting on my ears or my tail or my collar means, right? It's kind of like my identifying piece. And it means something to me. It may not mean anything to anybody else. Okay, I get that part. I want to go back a little bit on something that you said earlier when you said that there are different protocols. So... So I know each are in the leather community, are they called houses also? Well, like the different people, their cliques.
Well, their chosen family. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Are they called houses also?
They can be. I know that the House of Ra is one that I have associate people that I like to associate with. So shout out to the House of Ra.
Hello, House of Ra.
You're in Atlanta, so I think they're where you are.
Are they really?
See, I believe so.
Now that COVID is over, I really need a list of, like, all the people and communities I need to reach out to in Atlanta so that I can start making my rounds. Now that COVID is over, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Let me go back. COVID is not over, people. Jesus. COVID is not over. We are still in the middle of a pandemic. Sorry. I chose my words incorrectly. What I meant to say is now that Atlanta is being more lax on their COVID restrictions, I am able to go around people and to meet up with people. That is what I meant to say. I apologize. But yeah, again, COVID is not over. Anyway, but now that, like, the restrictions are a little bit more lax, we're able to actually meet people now. And I need a list of all the people in Atlanta that I need to get with. But that I diverge from my original question. My original question was going to be the protocols. Is there, like, a overarching leather community protocols? Or is it just each house's own set of rules?
You're more likely to find each quote house with its own set of rules. There's really isn't, like, there are certain things that are universal to the community, especially when you get into leather contests and stuff. There are certain things that we just all know and do. But if you're talking about, like, interpersonal stuff, like, the way I interact with my handlers is completely different than the way that you interact with yours. The way that we have structured our pet play relationship is 1,000% different than somebody else's, so it varies.
Okay. The reason I asked is because I've been reading a lot more, and if you guys have listened to some of the earlier episodes, you know that Anne Rice's, RIP Anne Rice, her Sleeping Beauty trilogy is one of my favorite stories. In that story, the whole kingdom, right, has an overarching set of rules for the slaves that all slaves follow, but then also a set of rules for each individual household. So I didn't know if that was like the leather community was like that also. There's also another set of books that I started reading. I can't remember the name of them, but they're older. They start with a G. It's like Gorian. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no clue.
Somebody is gonna know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's a subculture of BDSM, and it's based off this, it's based off this novel from, like, I don't even know. I'm gonna send it to you anyway. But that is like, it's like fantasy, but it's like really, strict. Almost like kingdom based. So you got kings and then you get the slaves and stuff like that. But they have overarching rules for the kingdom as well as, you know, rules for each house, for lack of a better word. So I didn't know if that was the same thing for the leather community. Like if the leather community was kind of a branch off of these two. I posted it in the chat, the Wikipedia page.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So then that brings me to another question. And again, please then jump in if you have any like questions or anything. I don't want to just take over, or rush. If you have like any more knowledge you want to jump, just please cut me off.
I mean, I feel like my questions like are, I guess, basic, but I guess.
But no, that's the whole point, right? Because we.
That's why I'm here.
I was like, yeah, that's the whole point. Is like, I'm asking questions based off of already kind of being in the BDS community, but not really knowing a lot. And you're asking questions directly from not knowing anything, right? So then if we have listeners out there that are like in the same boat as you, your questions may be the same questions that they have, which are going to be completely different from my questions. So we still need them.
Okay. I mean, I guess what, like, because you both are in pet play and everything, like, what interested you into doing that? Like, I'm trying, I kind of want to wrap my mind around it, because, yeah, like, why?
I can go first. I can make mine quick, Rush, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So for me, when I got into pet play, it was really to get outside of myself. I was in a very dark place where I kind of didn't want to, I wanted to unalive myself a lot. And pet play allowed for me to escape from that. And not just escape and like not deal with my problems, but it allowed for me to escape from that, give me structure and give me direction. So that way, when I came back to my problems, I have a different like mind at looking at them. Right. So it started off as an escapism, and then it kind of just became my safe place. So that's how I got into pet play. That's what it is for me. What about you, Rush?
For me, I was getting out of the military, and transitioning from military life to civilian life is super hard. There's like the order, structure, and discipline that's required of me on a day-to-day basis is just what I needed to be like. I could move my life over to something and keep an even keel, so to speak. As opposed to being thrown in the civilian world, which is completely different. Like, it's super chaotic. I do not understand how people live like that. So pet play pet play was really awesome because I had this handler who was very ordered, structured, disciplined. I had things I had to accomplish, and I could still have fun with it too. So it was a perfect fit.
Did that answer your question, Sian?
I mean, it gives me two different perspectives. One, yeah. He was just trying to, I guess, function. I want to choose my words wisely so I don't act like I'm being like disrespectful. Like when you came back from the military, you just wanted to transition yourself and just try to be in this environment, I guess, right?
Yes.
Okay. While Harley, of course, it was very emotional and stuff, and this was a way for you to just separate yourself from yourself.
Yes. Right?
Okay. I said that right. I said that correctly. Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you.
So yeah. Did you have any other questions?
No, I think the leather thing question. I didn't know there was that many communities within the leather community, but
yeah, me either.
So I'm assuming a leather community is more of an umbrella term.
Yes.
No, I'm good.
So then my next question is, it sounds like the leather community is very structured, very, I won't say by the book always, because I'm pretty sure not everybody is by the book, but it seems like the overarching consensus is that it's like structured with rules and protocols and I won't say like what's the word I'm looking for? Roles, right? Do you guys, do you, and this is just like from your experience or people that you know, do you sometimes get upset at the non-leather people because we kind of don't seem to be as structured?
And again, it's not like this sort of thing is like set in stone. It's super, super fluid, especially when you move from different group to group. It's not mm-hmm. like this one universal thing. This is how we do things, and it's the only way we do things. That's a very old guard way of thinking, and it's very much so starting to die out. And the only time I've been upset, so to speak, when non-leather people come into a leather space is when they've not asked questions, or they just walk into the space and start like doing without, you know, saying, hey, is this okay if I do this, or mm-hmm. or looky like I was in a Shibari exhibit in a museum, and I'm completely naked and tied up, and people just decided to touch, which is not something you're supposed to do.
You don't even touch. But it's just
exactly. You're not even supposed to touch like the Mona Lisa. So yeah. What made them think they can come up and touch you, your art?
But the whole thing was that when I knew that I could just tell the difference between the people that understood what was going on and the people that didn't. Not to say that, you know, oh, all other people just have this intrinsic knowledge, but it does happen to fall out that more often than not, people in our community tend to know, you know, this particular space, certain things might be okay and certain things might not be. Mm-hmm. And I need to be aware of that. Whereas non-leather people tend to come into leather spaces and they're just either looky-loo-ish and interrupting scenes, which please don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just generally not being respectful. So there's definitely that. And again, this isn't an overall universal 100% thing. It's just something that I've observed over time.
No, I can definitely see that. I 100% see that. Just, you know, being in regular pet play, right? And seeing people that, you know, think they know what pet play is come into our pen and be like, whoa, no, you're horrible. So, no, I can see that. But so for someone like myself who is interested, maybe not and being in leather, because I personally don't think I look good in leather. It looks hot, shiny, sweaty. I'm not good sweaty. But that's just me. But somebody who wants to be a part of that, like, I guess, in crowd, quote unquote, how would we go about that? Because I don't really know protocol, right? I was never really trained on scene protocol. So what do you think would be the best? How would we enter into this community from the outside?
The best way I found is to go to your local leather bar. That would be an for if you're out in the LA area. I mean, the LA Eagle. It's a great place. Fantastic. I highly recommend that bar. Or the Bullet or someplace like that. And maybe on a night where they're hosting an event and talk to people. that's legit it. It's just getting involved with like community stuff, like go where the community congregates, and that's normally at a leather bar. Just go and start asking questions and find, and don't just like start wandering up to like the bouncer at the door. Hey, I have a question about such and such and such. Just go to the bar, get a feel for someone. And just start talking. Say, hey, I have questions about this. Hey, I, what is all of this about? And I guarantee you, everyone's happy to tell you what leather is about for hours.
Now, you mentioned this a few times, the old guard. Can you kind of explain what that is? Like, what that means?
So, old guard are the people who are 100% by the book. This is the only way you'll do leather. That's how they run their like structured group family. And like I said, it's not a way of thinking that's going to last forever. The minds are changing, but this is the place where we get a lot of old leather traditions from, ways of doing things. That's basically old guard.
Okay, I got you. So old guard would be the kind of people that I think, what I think of when I think of the leather community, like those people that have the rules and stuff like that. Got you. Okay, that makes sense. So then my next question. Just know I got a lot of questions. Okay,
that's fine.
I have a lot of them. Good. Going back to the leather attire, are there different articles of clothing that are only meant for like the sirs, the doms, you know, the tops, versus the article of clothing that only the boys, the bottoms, I don't know the other terms, that they wear?
The boys, the bottoms.
The boys, that sounds like a band.
Interchangeable. So again, it's not really structured like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to hold yourself to like the old guard standard, more power to you, but it's honestly, it's what makes you feel good. Like wearing my puppy hood and literally nothing else makes me feel amazing. And if I could do that in the general public, best believe I would. But if you're not a sir, but you like wearing a sir's cap, I mean, this is America. You can wear what you want, or wherever you find yourself in the world. I hope a free place. It's about wearing what makes you feel good and sexy and empowered. I know lots of people that love showing up to leather contests and chaps, and while I do enjoy the view, that's what they feel like wearing.
Chaps as in like cowboy chaps?
Yep. And
wow. Oh, okay then.
No undergarments.
I support that 100%.
Yeah, I went to a pride march with one of my friends. Yeah, I remember that. That still kind of burned into my cornea.
I asked because like one of my life goals is I really want to go to the Folsom Street Fair. Like I really want to go.
I'm going this year. It's gonna be amazing.
I really want to go. That is the only thing that would bring me to California. That's it. Outside of seeing you.
What? Y'all heard it on the podcast. Y'all heard it. Now y'all heard it.
Outside of seeing you, that is okay. One of the reasons that I would come into California is to go there. And that's what kind of piqued my interest about this conversation, because I was like, I see a lot of leather people at this fair, and I don't think I'm leather, right? Like, I don't know. How do I know if I'm leather or not? Like,
it's 100% on you. It's how you feel and it's how you identify. Like, I identify with a branch of the leather community, but I don't see myself like
in the leather community.
Well, no, I definitely do, because my entire like my friendly quote unquote circle, wink wink, nudge nudge, happens to be members are part of that community.
So gotcha.
It's not that I don't see myself as a part of the community. I don't see, well, I see myself as under the umbrella, but using my specific identifier.
Is it not traditional?
What do you mean by not traditional?
I thought that's what you were going with, like, because
No. So what I mean is, okay, so this might be easier. So let's say you have the big umbrella, right? Big, huge umbrella. We'll call that the leather community. Now, Puppy Play fits underneath this umbrella. And let's see. Being a submissive to a sir, that fits under the umbrella. Now you have specific identifiers, like boy or sir. You identify as this, but that still, you still fall under the umbrella.
Okay.
It's a rather large umbrella.
Okay. I think I'm understanding this. And just for some of the viewers out there that may get confused, just because you are submissive to a sir or a dom does not mean that you are inherently a part of the leather community, unless you choose to be a part of the leather community, right?
Bingo.
Okay. I'm getting there. I got it. I'm getting there now. So now,
No.
It's the same thing as what?
It's the same thing as being LGBTQIA+. We're like, I'm gay. I'm very gay. If you ever meet me, like, a pair of ruby slippers is gonna fall out of my mouth every time I talk. Yes. So gay, but I fall under the LGBTQIA+. That's our big umbrella, and gay is my specific identifier.
Okay, so then so BDSM is our big umbrella, and up under that is leather community, and then non-leather community, right? And then up under those is just other communities, even if the communities overlap. So like Pet Play overlaps, right? But I'm in Pet Play, not in the leather community, but you are. So that's kind of what you're getting at?
Sort of, but you just got to flip-flop it. Leather community, big umbrella. Pet Play underneath that umbrella. If you're like, I'm not really a part of like the leather community as a whole, cool, awesome, then you're just with Pet Play. That's fine.
Okay. That makes sense now. So all of these, so basically, if you go back to, like, according to some Christians, we all came from one of Moses, one of Noah's sons, right? We're all in the leather community, technically. Mm-hmm. Technically,
I guess.
Am I inceptioning my? That's not a word, but I'm gonna use it anyway. Am I doing some inception shit to myself right now?
I don't think you are. I think a lot of people, when they sit down and they try to, like, work out, you know, the differences between, you know, am I leather or is this one thing leather? And again, it's overall, when we're using leather as like an identity, like some as the leather community to describe a particular thing that we're into, I think we're using the leather term as this one big catch-all. when you talk about specific things in the leather community, it doesn't mean that like leather is something apart or separate. We're still in the community. It's just that you choose to identify with this particular thing. Again, it's like saying, oh, so you're a part of the LGBTQIA plus people, right? And you're like, yes, I am XYZ. I am gay or lesbian or bisexual. LGBTQIA plus is just the big catch-all. Leather community is an overall, this like big catch-all. The specific identifiers within side of it are just like extra descriptors. So when people go, oh yeah, Rush, you're into the leather community, I'm like, yeah, I'm into puppy play. That's something that falls under that umbrella. Now, that's not to say that somebody can't go, you know, I don't really identify with everything that goes with the leather community. I'm just into this specific thing. That's perfectly fine.
Okay. That would be me. That makes sense. So, is S&M more tight or like more leather? Right? Like, is that more of a leather thing?
Okay, so BDSM. I feel like, this one is just my opinion, because depending on who you ask in the community, either it is or it isn't. It can be something that's under the catch-all. It can be something that's completely, like, on another planet. But to me, BDSM as a kink exclusively isn't really a leather identifier.
Yeah.
Like, that's just something you're in. That's just something you're into.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Like, the room, you know, it got quiet because I didn't know if you were explaining something else, but it took me a minute to get what you were saying. So, okay, never mind. I get what you're saying now. We don't have to discuss that part. I want to get into, before we move on to the leather culture, I want to get into some dirt, to some juicy tea. Wait, juicy tea? That's not. Anyway, so
juicy.
I was doing some research and I was doing some research on the leather subculture as a whole, and you know, trying to see like when it got started up, yada yada yada, and. You said earlier that it was started up by, it came from like biker culture and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I saw in my research that the quote unquote pioneering biker club was the Seder Motorcycle Club in LA. Do you guys feel like you're the founding, like LA is the founding place for leather, other than like, say, what other place had one? New York or like San Francisco? Because I believe New York had one too. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, do you guys talk shit and be like, yeah, no, like, yeah, you're from the New York leather community, but we're the founding.
It's too much like we're one big family. I get what you're getting at, but honestly, it's 100% being a part of this one giant family. Like, it doesn't matter where we come from.
Yeah.
It matters that we're on the inside. So no, we don't really talk shit. Now, I will say this again, my own opinion, because I've only worn one, but I feel like wearing an LA title on your back is pretty special. Like, I can't imagine running for another title anywhere else. I love my leather community, and I feel like that's every title holder though. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like the Texas puppy, there is no way that Texas puppy doesn't feel some pride wearing the Lone Star puppy pride, the pup contest patch on their back. Like, there's no way they don't feel like some semblance of pride. Or the Chicago dogs, I know for a fact they love their community 150%. So while there is love for your area, it doesn't extend out to like ribbon people about where they're from. It's more like, we want to get together and have a really great time.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I would have also loved the juicy part, but I love this more. I love this more. I really need to find the Atlanta pet scene because I think I would be perfect as Miss Georgia Pet or Atlanta Pet or whatever the hell it's called. I think that's the title that I deserve. And if any of my listeners feel like I deserve that also, reach out to me or reach out to whoever is over it and send them this podcast and let them know that what a good pup I've been. Because I'm the best. that's really everything that I had for, like, you know, just like a overall crash course in understanding the difference between, or understanding if there is a difference between leather culture and non-leather culture. Like I said, it was just something that I've always saw and kind of felt like I was on the outside, like I couldn't be a part of that because that wasn't me. And I just wanted to know, you know, if that was true. So I thank you so much for coming in and dispelling that rumor and basically just telling me that these people just like to be tight and sweaty all the time. That's just how I feel about leather. It's just, I'm fat, so it's just tight on me. So, yeah.
No, I do have a question about these contests, though.
Sure, ask me anything.
Oh, wait, before we get into that, can you please let our listeners know again the title that you did hold and, like, from the year or whatever, how that works?
Oh, I was LA Puppy for 2018. So if you want to be a title holder first, you got to go crazy and decide that you want to run. When you decide that you want to run for your title, you sign up for your contest. The first part of your contest is going to be the meet and greet with all the judges. Basically, you're going to go to the bar and shake babies and kiss hands, whichever you prefer.
Oh, Lord, not shake babies.
And you meet your judges, of course. The goal for that night is to make sure that you meet with each of your judges. Normally it's just five, just a hi, hello, and discussing what you want to do with the title, what your platform is going to be. Then you go home, get some sleep, then you get up and you go to your interview, which is where the judges get to ask you questions. Basically, what do you want to do with the title? What kind of person are you? Do you have ideas already? What are you already doing for the leather community? Also, side note, if you have a good contest, they're not going to do the chair trick. If you have an old guard contest, they'll probably do the dumb chair trick, and the chair trick is stupid. If you're listening to this and you're part of the community and you're a judge for a contest, don't do the chair trick anymore. It's dumb, and we already all know about it. And then the last thing is the contest itself. Now, this is always the highlight of the night. So it's everybody getting together as one leather family. And normally there's a funny question, a serious question, a speech, or a fantasy, and then they announce the winner.
What's the chair trick?
My brain stopped there, and
I heard the rest. It's like I kept echoing in my head, chair trick. I hope he knows I have no clue what the hell that is, but all right, chair trick.
I'm so glad you asked. So the chair trick. So in the interview room, the judges are going to be sitting behind a table, and there's going to be a single chair. And it used to be in the community that if you sat down in the chair, you would get points off. But if you stood either behind or beside the chair, you would get points added on. Now, most contests nowadays don't do the chair trick because it's stupid. And all of us know about the chair trick now. Well, pretty much if you run in a contest and you go to, like, anybody else who's ran in a contest and ask them what goes down, they'll tell you about the dumbass chair. It's so stupid. I hate the chair trick.
Now, if I'm being offensive, just let me know. But is this like a Miss America thing? Because I hear about, like, you said interviews and
it's very much pageantry. It's very okay, much so that.
I didn't want to be like offended, like, because my brain is like on that. Like, it's like, okay, so you're being interviewed, you're talking with the judges, and what gets you to win? Like, I'm trying to, is it, I'm not saying if there's like a talent portion of it or something, but like, is what gets you points into winning?
Your personality 100% is a big part of it. What you want to do with the title and do you have a plan for it is another big thing that they want to see. We want to see if you're involved with the community now or, you know, have you been involved with the community? Because I ran before and nobody knew who I was. Nobody knew about my platform. I really hadn't done any like grassroots work inside of the community and I lost. And thank God I lost my first run because I was not ready.
Oh.
Second run I won though. And I was 100% down. But, it's these things that really push you to win your contest. Also, how your speech goes. Speak about something that you care about. Speak about something that you're passionate about when it comes to the community. I didn't get to do a speech. I had to do a fantasy. And if you do a fantasy, there are three ways to have a fantastic fantasy. Make them laugh, make them cry, make them come. Pick one of those. If you can do all three, great, you're a shoo-in. But if you can do one, you're Gucci. And I picked make them laugh.
So when you say fantasy, like an actual sexual fantasy or non-sexual or just something?
Your fantasy is 100% up to you. It can be a sexual fantasy. I saw this one water sports fantasy and I... They made me do one of the three. I'll let you, the audience, guess which one. But it's up to you. It's what your creative mind came up with. Like for me, mine was completely non-sexual. It was the Superman serials, like the cartoons where you'd see Superman, there would be a problem, he'd save the day. Now took that and made it as full of puppy play puns as I possibly could. Harley, I will send that to you for you to watch one day.
Please.
But that's what I did. Somebody else did a water sports fantasy. Somebody did a spanking fantasy. Somebody did a fantasy of them transforming into their pup self and interacting with their handlers. It was really incredible.
Huh? Very interesting. So
it's definitely on you.
I just have one more question, and Sin, if you don't have anything else, we can move on and take a break after this. I have one more question, and this is probably going to be me diving into the little bit of a brat that I have inside of me. Mm-hmm. Why don't I see a lot of girl puppies or female presenting puppies when I look up pet play? Why is it just...
Oh, we're getting that one.
Woohoo! Yeah, we are. Because I'm sitting here trying to like find the Atlanta pet play community. And the first one that popped up, no offense to them, is the Atlanta League of Pet Play. But it is all like from just the picture, of course, I don't know their pronouns, but it's all like men presenting, and I don't see a lot of me. And where am I? That's all. I just like to know where we are.
Don't worry, I got you. Don't worry, I got you. Yes. Okay. So, first of all, to all the female puppies who are listening to this, because I know you're out there 150%, show up, show out. You are definitely welcomed in our community. In fact, that was a portion of my title year was devoted to people who we don't get to see on like the posters or the websites or anything else. Are those puppies who feel like I don't see myself on that poster or I don't see myself on the website. I don't know if I'm welcome or not. I want you to know that you're welcome. The reason why we don't see that because for a very long time, people thought, you know, in order to get people to my event, I need to show, you know, the stuff that they want to see. So, of course, the stuff that they want to see is a Twinkie white puppy on all fours.
Mm-hmm.
That is not reflective of our community at all. We have black puppies, white puppies, skinny puppies, fat puppies, tall puppies, short puppies, male puppies, female puppies, and puppies that are working it out still.
Baskin and Robbins. Oh, sorry.
And Robbins.
My whole entire point is that they are out there, 100%. They are out there, and they are so gorgeous. In fact, I know several Chicago female puppies who ran for international and were robbed. They should have won. Point blank. Period. That's not an. By the way, that's not an opinion. That's a fact. That's a fact. I stand on that. That's a fact.
But that go to spicy. I want it.
Oh, absolutely. No, I stand on that. My name is Pup Rush on Twitter. Come if you don't want to catch smoke about it, please come see me, because they were robbed. And these strong women of color 100% deserve to win, not because they were women of color, but because they understood the problem that these puppies aren't being featured or these puppies aren't being shown. So it's not reflective of the community. So when people are looking at it, they don't really get the image of this is okay. Uh-huh. I have a space here. So when you say I don't see me, that's the time that needs to be picked up on those by those leaders saying, hey, you know, we need to fix that. Because there are female puppies out there, and there are female presenting puppies out there, and they play rough. some of these female puppies play rough. Let me tell you.
and that's I think that really is what started my me wanting to learn more about the leather community, because whenever I looked up trying to find other pets, right, not just puppies, but just other pets, period. That's all I see is the leather puppies. And I'm just like, okay, so does my community really exist? Or am I really a part of this? Or am I one of those people that's made up my own ideas, right? I don't see me. That's all. So
please tell me you have an Instagram. You have that, right?
Yeah, I do.
I want you to talk to Pup Kane. I'm about to send you the link to hers.
Please,
but,
I would say yes. Send it to me, please.
But Pup Kane, tell her that Pup Rush sent you the one that admired. Pup Kane, let me tell you, Pup Kane is the reason why I went to IP, the International Puppy Contest. Pup Kane, I watched her speech 100 times. And that's not an exaggeration. When I say female puppy of color, it's Kane. Kane always comes to my mind first. She is oh my God. See, and now she's going to hear this and hear me gushing like a big dum-dum. But she's so amazing and such a powerful personality. Changed the fucking game where she was. Also, I took several notes from her platform in just being I sat down with my producers the first day that I had after I won my contest. I said, look, we're taking pictures of puppies of all types. I will not have an event without a puppy of color, a female presenting puppy, or somebody just different on my poster, period. And that's what we're doing. That comes from Kane.
Okay.
That 100% comes from Kane.
I would definitely reach out to them. I'm looking at their Instagram now. It's private, which is probably smart. But I'll definitely reach out to them and just ask, some questions and see if they have any, what's the word I'm looking for? Advice. That's the word. Advice.
But yeah, female puppies are out there and their group is getting bigger by the day. Every day now I'm finding a new female, female puppy.
Yeah, good. Because I'm not a cat.
Oh, my goodness. I think she's in Atlanta. She might be. Sorry. I think she's in Atlanta. Because she was at FWA.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
Oh, wait. No, never mind. Never mind. She's Illinois. I think she's in Illinois. Oh. But still, worth it. Worth it. She, oh my gosh. I can't wait for you to meet her.
I definitely will.
Let me know when you record that.
Okay, yeah. If they agree to Do you, if they agree to come on the show and, like, you know, do the interview, I would definitely have you there, because, yeah, more 100%. Well, I have nothing else. Are y'all ready to take a break before we hop into the nerd corner?
That gives me enough time to go get dinner and bring it upstairs.
Okay. All right, y'all. So we're going to take a break right here. I will make sure to put all of Pup Rush's Twitter and socials in the description box of this one. So go listen to my ad, and we'll be right back. And welcome back, y'all. Thank you so much for listening to that ad. Isn't my voice amazing? I sound so great. So, before we hop into the nerd corner, you guys know that I love reading your emails that you send me and your DMs and things like that. So please keep sending them to me. But we got one from a listener that listened to the last episode, and they agreed with me on a lot of things, so I'm going to read it just so you guys can hear how much they agreed. They say, hello, I just listened to this podcast. I never thought Halle Berry should have been Storm. Agreed. I agree with you. She is one of the most badass superheroes. My thought of who would have been a great Storm during that time would have been Angela Bassett. I just want to stop right there and point out that how did I not even think about Angela Bassett?
Yeah.
Icon. How did I not even think about that?
I don't know. It makes sense.
It makes sense. Yes. Especially in the 90s. Like when she was, well, I'm sorry, this was like the 2000s. So she just came off of doing, you know, her Angela Bassett stuff. I don't remember what movie this was. But still, I would not think about that. That's like perfect casting. They go on to say, I know she is lighter skinned, but she has a presence on screen that would have been great for Storm. I do list Blade as the first modern superhero movie. Again, agreed. For some part, they did a really good job, and also they did a really bad job. And they said when he used that one person as bait in the first movie, that was great because that's something that Blade would do. But Blade was not himself when he didn't kill Whistler. And this is what I agree with, because I feel like the Blade that I remember from the comments was such an anti-hero and such, like, has so much hate. Yeah. For vampires, that if Whistler had ended up turning, he would have saw it more as putting Whistler out of his misery.
Yeah.
And that is the one thing that I will agree with that they should have did in the movies. That was not Blade at all. He would have pulled the trigger without thought because he hates the supernatural so much. They also say, I am a Star Wars fan over Star Trek. This hurt my heart. I would love to hear your views on Star Wars. I do respect Star Trek, and some of the shows I think are pretty good. Please keep up the good work. Well, thank you so much for this letter.
Sorry, you're obviously on crack, because, I mean, wars over Trek. Get checked in for that, buddy.
So everyone knows that I'm a Trekkie.
I'm just stay quiet.
No, because you're our resident Star Wars fan, so you have to say something.
I'll say one thing. I like Jean-Luc Picard, all right? I like him. But that's mainly because I used to watch a lot of Shakespearean stuff, and I just like acting, so that's just me. Okay,
So here's my thought on Star Wars, right? And I'm saying this as someone who just recently, probably a few years ago, finally watched the movies. And I mean, like, the originals. Actually, I take that back. I have not watched the last two Star Wars films. I didn't watch the final one. I didn't watch the one before that. I did watch the first Force Awakens, I guess that's what it's called, like when we first met Rey. But after that, I stopped. I didn't watch shit else. And the reason that I did not... Holy shit, wow. Is that Michael? I'm
yes,
jealous.
It is.
I'm jealous. The reason that I won't say I don't like Star Wars, because I think some of it is cool, but the reason that I could not get into Star Wars is because it seemed like one person's family and one person's family issues and caused all of this shit to happen. And I know that's not the case. I know it's not the case, right? But it just, it played out like one person's family history, family issues, family drama is the whole reason we're in this bullshit. And that's what it felt, and that's what it felt like to me. That's why I could not devote myself to Star Wars. That's it. I like Star Trek because I enjoy thinking about what the future could be. I enjoy the science in it. I enjoyed the fact that Star Trek had, like, was breaking boundaries in television with the first Black main character, put that out there, like, and the first interracial kiss. I enjoy the fact that William Shatner's he was sexing anything that had a vagina. Didn't care if it was an alien, a human, as long as it was a consenting adult, he was kissing it. So yeah, I could relate. I can relate to that on a scientific aspect, but also on a fantasy futurist more, right? Because it wasn't like family drama. It was something new to explore every episode, every day. And that's what I like. All right, that's all I gotta say. Keep going. Come on, Star Wars. What you got to say?
No, it's, look, I when it comes to Star Wars, I never cared for Jedis because I feel like Jedis are the most OP characters in the whole universe when you think about it, because they have the Force and saber work, and even if you shoot at them, they can still reflect it for some odd reason. It is which is why I always like the bounty hunters and stuff, and they really work hard to try to kill someone. And if a bounty hunter actually kills a Jedi, you know you probably shouldn't like mess with them at all. As for what you say, it was like one family that did all of this drama. Technically, you're right, but there's a reason, because, and I'm going by Jag, who is the Star Wars encyclopedia. He said that in the beginning, Anakin's mother was visited by a very high Sith Lord who had the ability to create life from nothing. He impregnated her with his power, whatever. And the reason, and when he was born, this is why he had like a higher everything, why he was the most powerful. It wasn't just, oh, he happened to be. It was because a Sith Lord made this, and then slowly but surely it turned into this whole fuckery where you have Luke born and he's the hope of the universe, and Anakin turns into Darth Vader, which is the greatest thing, because you have to really read the comic books on Darth Vader, because seeing him destroy everything that is Anakin was the greatest scene I've ever seen in my entire life, because to really be true to him being Darth Vader, he had to destroy everything that was Anakin, and he destroyed everything that was Anakin, including people that knew him. Every memory, everything that had some type of insignificant thing, even the person that enslaved him, he killed him. And the moment he killed him, for some odd reason, when he went back and sat on his throne, and then there was someone talking to him, he's like, you don't remember driving me to here or whatever? He's like, no, because that wasn't me. That was Anakin.
Oh. He
literally destroyed everything that was Anakin to the point where he has no memories of who Anakin is. And I thought that was the greatest scene of all time. I'm like, okay, this dude's badass.
So I love a good villain. I will definitely, everybody knows that about me. I sympathize with a villain very, very hard, like very hard. I can see it. I love a good villain. Huh?
I don't see it, but it's nice.
You don't, okay. See, you haven't seen a lot of horror movies with me. I mean, but you know, we've played Star Wars together, and of course I'm a Sith, right? Like, yes. And I'm probably the evilest one out of our whole group. So
notice how she hasn't played with me yet, chat. I mean, me yet, audience.
Hey, that's because my teammates here have not played Star Wars since they asked me to play.
We'll play tomorrow. We are playing tomorrow. That's it.
Okay. You hear this, Rush? We're playing tomorrow.
Got him.
But like, I got my own family drama that I really gotta, you know, deal with. I don't want to have to deal with nobody. I don't want to have to keep up with nobody else. This person is your actual mama. No, it actually is your sister, because I'm your mama. No, actually, I'm your brother. I can't.
You're only going by the movies, which is fine. The movies are really good. They're technically cinematic masterpiece for some people. But when you read it with the comic books, it becomes in a completely different universe.
Well, see, and that's my issue, right? Like, with Star Trek, yes, we have other stuff that we can read, but I don't have to. Everything I want is right there. Everything I need to know is given to me right there in them TV shows. I can go and find extra stuff if I want, but I ain't got to, because it's right there and it's good and it's entertaining. But, you know, that's neither here or there. I did give it a shot. You know, I watched the Star Wars. I love the Mandalorian. If everybody could have been a bounty hunter, I'm fine with that, because I feel like that I would have been a bounty hunter if I was in a Star Wars universe. I'm too evil to be a Jedi. I don't follow directions well to be a Sith. They would have killed me. I would have been a bounty hunter.
I would have been the bartender in the middle of the desert, because I can't do
it. You know what? That's probably it right there. Yeah. My facade would have been, I'm a bartender, and then when you come out there, I know how much bounty is on your head, and then I just kill you. And then, yeah. Yeah. So yes, thank you again so much for sending in that letter. Again, I love reading y'all letters. Please send me more for me to read. You can send them to me on Twitter at KinkyBlurtPod, or you can send them to our Gmail, which is KinkyBlurtPod@gmail.com. So now diving into this nerd corner, which technically we were already in there, but today's topic, we're not going to do any spoilers, but we are definitely talking Attack on Titan. We have to.
Fuck Gabby.
I have never wanted a character to cease existing as much as I want Gabby to.
Like Gabby, I'm sorry, unalive yourself.
I never wanted a character to cease existing as much as I... This is a little bit of a spoiler, so if you have not caught up to at least the second half of Attack on Titan, then please stop listening right now. Fast forward at least maybe, I'll say probably about 10 minutes. Fast forward a little bit, because we're probably not even 10 minutes. Just fast forward a little bit, because we're going to get into it. All right, that was your warning. Here we go. I don't understand why the hell Connie didn't kill her when she shot Sasha, right? I don't understand that. That was mistake number one. When she shot Sasha and they just started kicking her, I would have picked her little ass up and threw her from the fucking airplane. What's she gonna do? She can't fly. End, isn't it right there? Why am I taking her back to the island to put her on? What? No, she killed her. She shot her. Instead of y'all punching her, pick her little ass up and jazz her ass. out the guy. She should have stayed in the child's place. But when she inserted herself into this place, I have every right to insert her ass back out of it. And that's where I stand at. I don't care how you feel. I'm sorry. But if she does not kick the bucket at the end of this show, I'm going to see it as a waste. I don't care about no character development. That's my rant. I'm done.
So, first of all, potato gang over here all day. I don't know how y'all do it over there, but over here it's potato gang. That's number 100%. One. Number two, yeah, hell yeah, fuck Gabby. Like, I'm sorry, just fuck Gabby. And people saying that she's the same as Aaron, like, oh, they both were told like some wrong shit.
No, they weren't.
Had fucked up childhoods.
No, they didn't.
Gabby's really the hero.
No, she ain't.
Nope.
So here's where Finn, have you caught up to Attack on Titan?
I don't want to.
You don't watch it? Y'all did. He didn't say that, y'all. Don't listen. Rewind back. He did not say that to us. He did not say that to me. He didn't say it.
You can go the same way as Gabby.
I didn't hear it. Okay, like so that. here's I can understand how people are trying to tie the two together between Gabby and Aaron, right? They were both children that were thrust into quote unquote a war, and you know, they're products of their environments. But here's where I stand with the Marlians and their Illidans versus Paradise Islands and our Illidans, right? Paradise Island was forced to defend themselves. They had no idea about the outside world. They had no idea about whatever history Marley is talking about. They had no idea. All they know is that this is where they live. This is the only world they know, and it's being threatened by these damn titans, right? So then in the midst of this, they find out that these titans are actually people that have infiltrated their lives, lied to them, gained their trust, befriended them, but also saw that they struggled and that they don't know anything. These same people that infiltrated them realized that the quote unquote devils they were sent here to kill aren't devils at all, and that they were fed lies. But yet they continued on with their fucking mission again because that's what they were told. I get it. But you can't sit up here and say that Aaron and Gabby are the same, because Aaron became the person that he was out of necessity and out of force. He didn't want to be this person. He just wanted to protect his people, kill all the titans that killed his mama. He don't know nothing about a war and other people outside the world. Gabby, on the other hand, right, knows about Paradise Island and the quote unquote devils, and was fed this information as a child. I blame this on her parents. Was fed this information because she wants to be an honorary Marlin, right? She wants to be this person. That's not my fault. That's your mama's fault. Your mama didn't talk to you better.
My whole thing about Aaron being, quote, evil, like, he's out to kill the people that have been killing his people for, like, how long?
Exactly. Now, I will say I do not agree with Aaron going to genocide the whole world. I do not agree with this. And now, apparently, people that have read the manga told me to just watch, you know, it'll all come full circle. But I'm not going to read the manga because we're almost at the end. I don't agree with that. I do agree, however, taking them damn wall titans and kicking the fuck out of Marley's ass. And then letting that be it. Because I feel like that is just, you know, that's benefit enough. If the whole world see that you don't fucked up Marley don't even exist no more, then cool. Because again, none of this would have started if Marley never sent fucking Reiner and Annie and shits over to Paradise Island in the beginning. We, like, Paradise Island has not attacked Marley in forever. They haven't done anything to Marley, but Marley was still calling them the devils. We don't even know y'all exist, right? So this whole war, all of this is because of Marley. It's because of them. So don't compare Aaron's struggle to this little girl. And that's it. That's all I got to say on that. All I know is Gabby better be without a heart at the end of the season.
Like, Gabby, you don't understand. It's on site for you.
Like, on site. Like, that's it. This is why I couldn't Attack on Titan. That's why they only had one black person. That's why I couldn't be in there. Because, I got real black Air Force energy for her. Like, straight up. Yeah. That's it on that. Sam, what did you bring for the Nerd Corner since you... Well,
it's Batman season, so I figured I'll kind of
keep it. I just saw the new Batman, and I will say I actually enjoyed it.
Now, some of them are rumors, some of them are true, but they said Michael Keaton might make a return to Batman.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, as maybe, you know, as an Easter egg type character in the movies, or maybe, I don't know.
Are they ever going to do Nightwing and that storyline? Could he be returning as Bruce in a wheelchair from getting his back broke from Bane? Like,
a completely different project, and no one's had said anything.
Oh, is it?
I mean, I've been advocating for them to bring back Static Shock in the live action for the longest 100%.
Time.
100%.
Yeah.
Please.
They're not even touching that. I would love for, I mean, it would be cool for them to do, like, him being a teen growing up, but I would love for them to actually portray the adult version, because the adult version kicks massive ass. He's not staticking anybody. He's shocking you to the core. But let me see what else. They also said maybe a Penguin spinoff series would probably be something cool.
Cobblepot. I don't really care for the Penguin.
I don't
like Oswald.
He's just a happy big guy. Anyway, let me see. Mm-hmm. They might do a Batgirl movie that might be coming up, and this
haven't
is the
they
one
got
really
enough
want.
Of the TV show Batgirl? Didn't that bomb?
I don't know what's happening, but there's a lot of Batman. I think because since this Batman did so well, like monetary wise, they're gonna milk it. They're gonna milk the hell out of this, which they always do.
So the reason that I think this Batman did really well is because it's given us the story of Bruce that we don't see anymore, right? So what people have to realize, the people that are shitting on this Batman, is that this is like Batman in his second year, right? He not even calling himself Batman, really, right? Yeah, he's Vengeance. But this is Batman in the second year of him even deciding to don this suit. So he's still angry. He's still sad. He's still depressed. He's still upset at life, period, right? So this is straight up original detective Batman. I'm smart. I see shit. I'm doing the police's job. And I fucking love it. Good. Yeah.
But the one thing I really wanted to talk about was they're going to make a Smallville sequel, an animated Smallville sequel. It's supposed to pick up after the finale of the last episode. And they said that they have more creative freedom, so they're going to tell their story.
You stop shitting. Are you serious?
Yeah, and I don't know what that means, though. Because that sounds good, but then it sounds bad. So I don't know.
I will only be excited for this if Michael Rosenbaum comes back and voices Lex Luthor.
Yeah, it is.
He is?
Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum are going to be in the project. So they're
going
to be
the fuck up. So put it in my veins. Whatever it is, I don't care.
I don't know about the art style, which is a big thing for me.
I don't care. I don't care. This is about as good news as me finding out that Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki, that he wants to do something Supernatural spinoff. This is as good. This is on par with that.
I will never understand people's obsession with.
You will stop right now.
I can't. I can't.
I do not. Supernatural is one of my all-time favorite shows.
I think I would. I love Buffy, but
I actually didn't care for Buffy. I didn't like Buffy.
What? Yeah. What? I'm sorry.
I like Willow. I watch Willow.
But this is the thing. Isn't there one character in the Smallville series that may not be in that series anymore?
Oh, you mean the reporter girl?
Yeah.
We don't really care about her. She can go to college somewhere and we never hear from her again. Isn't that what they did to the black boy? The one black kid in this whole damn town. And they just sent him off to college to play football or something. Yeah, we could send her off to the big city and she become a reporter and we don't hear back from her anymore.
The thing is, I don't even know what perspective they're trying to do. I'm assuming they're going to focus on Clark going to, you know, to Metropolis and I guess starting his life in the city or something.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. Superman, super strong and all that other shit.
Mm-hmm. I hate Superman, but yeah.
You know, I want to know where he's put the bodies. All right. You got to follow me on this logic, right? He's Superman. And like he could pick up like a fucking cinder block brick and just smush it, no problem.
Yes.
So if again we're talking about college Clark Kent, if he's doing it with the ladies,
well, he's trained himself to restrain.
Ow! He's trained himself to restrain. But that leads us to the other question. Do you think that his parents ever looked at his ceiling and were like, why are there holes? What are you doing, guy? What is happening that there are holes in your ceiling?
I mean...
Clark, why do all your socks have multiple holes in them? Why does your sock smell like acid?
Exactly.
Clark, what's going on here, son? Do we need to talk?
This is the thing. You have to. I am no way because I do not like Superman because of how powerful they made a character to be. Almost, he is a god. You can't call him anything else but that.
He does become a god.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If he sits in the sun for 10,000 years, yes, he will be god. But like for here, like it's if I had to think of how he isn't doing stuff like that, I would say he's technically an alien. He doesn't really know. But then again, even if he's raised by these two, the Kents who were farmers and stuff, maybe that's where all his mindset was, you know, just being a good person, doing stuff around the farm, just that was the mentality. And since he doesn't get tired, he doesn't have any, you know, reason to rebel. They didn't really be strict with him. I don't know. Maybe it just didn't come up in his head. And if he was
Up in his hand.
Oh god.
Maybe that's how it did. That's the only thing strong enough to hold it. Like it's
oh, damn it. All right, he's got me.
Are we really talking about
it's a legitimate question. No. I found at one point I read it on a Reddit thread and I was like, wait.
Question. You are right. I would just like to think that maybe, you know, Lois rode a lot. And yeah.
No, 100%. If he was doing stuff with Lois like later in life, yeah. I can see him like learning to control his weirdo super strength. Yeah. But like in college, hell no.
Yeah.
I'm assuming there's somebody with a broken pelvis. So I don't think he got to do anything during those years. Like,
you're right. That is funny. That is hilarious. We got totally off.
Topic. Oh yeah.
That Smallville may be coming back, but no, that is funny. Now I'm gonna be thinking about all the different superheroes.
Oh god.
Like, you know, if we go back to X-Men, what happens with Pyro or Iceman? You know, if they. What about Rogue? Does she shock herself?
Wait, how about this? Because I was actually. Oh no, I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No. I was talking because this has been going around because everyone hates Batman. Now, not this Batman. They hate the character Batman because of how he is and how he chooses to handle certain situations. And then people were saying, like, what if he wasn't Batman? Mm-hmm. And he started to fix things as Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be easier? And in my mind, it's like, yeah, as much as you want to say money can't buy everything, it can buy a lot of things. Like,
yeah.
For instance, let's say Mr. Freeze is doing Mr. Freeze stuff and he's doing stuff in the name of his wife, right? So mm-hmm. what if Bruce literally just gave him all the money to find a cure for his wife? Wouldn't that mm-hmm. stop him from doing everything?
But would that not enable a villain?
That doesn't mean, I mean, he's doing something for the greater good in that particular situation. So, and the only person that would actually just be chaotic to be chaotic would be the Joker. But then the Joker. That's you can't control him. You just leave mm-hmm. that as is. But it's a lot of things. Like put poison ivy in a plant sanctuary. He's like, yes, live over here. I'll give you a whole island.
I see what you're saying. I think for that, not even the fact that it's not exciting. Because I don't mind philanthropy playboys. I mean, look at Iron Man. But I wonder if that would cause him more problems, right? Because then you'll have regular old citizens being like, oh, if I just shoot up a place or something, Bruce Wayne will come out here and ask me what's wrong with me while I'm shooting it up and give me whatever I need, and I'll stop shooting it up, you know? Or, like, Bruce Wayne got all this money, and he's just doing it to bad people. Let me just shoot him and kill him. Like, or even if he's not even doing it in public, you know, Bruce Wayne not doing shit. He just got money and sitting over here. Let me shoot him and kill him. Like, I don't know. I feel like Bruce Wayne became Batman because he needs a release and he enjoys punching people. And you know what? Sometimes that's okay. Sometimes you just enjoy a little MMA. Maybe Gotham didn't have a MMA gym. They only had regular boxing. And Bruce wanted to practice his jiu-jitsu or taekwondo or whatever the hell it is Alfred taught him. Yeah. That's what I think.
I think him throwing his wallet is probably the best superpower in that particular situation of the heroes that he usually had to fight. I would say maybe Joker, he would never be able to beat with money.
He would never be able to beat Joker with money. Wouldn't work. And Joker would exploit it, right? Like,
that's the thing. Joker doesn't care about material things. Monetary.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. What I'm saying
is... But the thing is, I feel like he would destroy the city because the only thing that kept him from doing that was Batman.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean. That's what I meant about he would exploit. He would exploit the fact that there's nobody really keeping him in check.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But I think this episode has gone long enough.
Wait, one more thing.
Ooh, one more thing.
It wasn't a comic book. I just thought it was funny because it is from people that love comic books and stuff.
Okay.
You remember Sharknado, right?
Yes.
Please don't
the greatest me movie ever made.
Please don't tell me another one coming out.
Sharkula.
What? Sharkula.
Yes, it's going to be. It's going to be even better. Sharkula.
It just puts the question out there: what if Dracula was actually a shark?
What? Like, I'm just okay. So if he was a shark and he was a vampire, does the sun not bother him? Now it's just he can't come out of water, right? Okay, cool. Does he have the power to infect other fish and other things in the water? Because then that could then affect humans. But because he's a fish, if we get his vampire powers from him being a shark, do we then turn into a fish vampire human?
The only thing I can think of like right now, like at least from the little bits I've seen of the trailer, because I just couldn't take it completely serious, was the fact that it looks like the shark is infected by what Dracula did from a bat that kind of made contact with him. So it's like one of those things where it just kind of fell down the chain and he just happened to happen. But I guess infecting the shark it looks like such a bad
one. Have we really fallen off the creative wagon? Like, do we have nothing else to...
We're in the era of remakes, so...
Hollywood, hi. If you need creative ideas for movies or shit, I got you. Reach out to me. Not everything needs to be remade. Not every idea needs to come to fruition, i.e. this one. This was not a good idea.
The cover was nice.
I have no words. I'm done. I have no words. This is why I only watch anime. I have no words. What the fuck?
I mean, the cover art looks nice. Look, I put it in the text channel.
It looks like he's in a pool of menstrual blood. Again, here goes my next question, though. Can he come out in the sun?
The Sharknado thing where the sharks were flying in every direction. I mean,
but doesn't the sun penetrate the water? Right,
it does to a certain level.
But sharks' bodies aren't made to be that deep in the ocean to where the sun can't penetrate them. Right. So, well, I guess now that he's a vampire, his heart and shit doesn't matter. So does water pressure not affect him anymore, and he can go all the way down there until it's nighttime?
He doesn't need to breathe anymore.
He doesn't need to breathe. Okay. But then now how does he fly? Can he turn into a bat? Does he have all of Dracula's powers? How does he kill humans? Are we just stupid and in the water? I can't. I'm thinking too logically for this.
You can't, because there's also something called Sharks of the Corn.
This podcast is over. Thank y'all so much for coming out.
Go in the cornfields. There's a shark there.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I have. Please follow us on Twitter at KinkyBlurtPod and send all your questions, comments. If you're looking forward to this stupid ass film, let me know to kinkyblurredpod@gmail.com. Pup Rush information will be in the description box of this episode.
There's a watch party for it.
Ben said he's gonna make a watch party for this.
Oh, no, I meant you.
Oh, no, Mina will not be there. Mina will not be in attendance. Unfortunately, I'm so sorry. But yeah, thank y'all so much for being here, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye.